And good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Deborah Martinez. In less than 1 week, New Mexico and other states will begin the task of launching a health insurance exchange that is basically aimed at the working poor. Today, we'll look at how it will work, and our guests will take your questions. In New Mexico, 192,000 people are eligible for credits or subsidies to help cover the cost. The exchange will feature five health plans from insurance providers, including Blue Cross, Loveless, Molina, New Mexico Health Connections, and Presbyterian. Enrollment begins October 1st. Coverage kicks in on New Year's Day, and enrollment will go through March 31st. Several sweeping changes took place when Obamacare was first passed in 2010, including no lifetime limits on coverage. Children can remain on their parents' insurance plan until they are 26, and children cannot be, and others cannot be, denied coverage because of pre-existing conditions. Well, what's new as of January 1st, in just a couple months? We'll find out from our guests who will take your questions. Joining me today are a member of the Healthcare Exchange Board who is here to talk about its work and answer your questions. That's Dr. Dean Waldman. And a member of the nonprofit Health Action New Mexico, Maria Perez, is also with us in studio. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Maria, let's start with you. You're doing a lot of outreach. What have you found on the ground? What do people know, and what is still a mystery for consumers out there?
Deborah, I work mostly doing outreach on the ground, as you mentioned. My area is northern New Mexico, so from Santa Fe County north, and that's what I can talk about today. What I have found is that people really don't know anything about it. There is a lot of confusion, a lot of suspicion about what's going on. People are not really trusting that this will be available to them. There's approximately 350,000 people in New Mexico who are currently uninsured who would benefit either from Medicaid expansion or the health insurance exchange. And about 85% of them are not aware that this would be available to them. So my work really has been going to communities, talking to leadership in communities, and trying to get this information out. But yeah, people are confused. People are unaware of what's happening.
Well, that's what we're here to do today, dispel some of the confusion and add to people's understanding of this immense issue, huge thing, biggest since Medicare. Dr. Waldman, you are on the health exchange board called HICS for short. There has to be an acronym for everything in state government, doesn't there? How will that BeWell website work? Explain that to us.
It's fairly straightforward. We have tried, I think, successfully to take what is extremely complex and at least try to simplify it for the people, anybody. The website is intended to help you find a person who will then help you navigate, whether that's a broker, whether that's a translator, an in-person assister, a navigator. There are all guides. There are all sorts of names for such people. But the website will explain your benefits and help you calculate if you're qualified for either Medicaid or for a tax subsidy. But the point is to try and make it user-friendly rather than a massive bureaucracy that nobody can figure out what the heck is going on.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you've written a book to try to dispel some of the myth as well.
I have. It's I think, unnecessarily complex. Our
Your
system.
Book or?
No. the cancer and healthcare is what we're talking about, and it's intended literally for the general public to say, why is this damn thing so complex that you know, you need an MD and a PhD and an MBA in order to understand it? It ought to be straightforward. I need help. My children need their vaccinations. Well, how can we get that accomplished?
Mm-hmm. It is 2,000 pages long.
The law is 2,000 pages yeah. long. Each page is roughly 1,000 words. You do the math, and you're talking about millions of words. Mm-hmm. It's I coined a term which I would tell your viewers, which is everybody knows that one of the problems in management is micromanagement. Well, this law is actually a nano management. It's 1,000 times worse than micromanagement.
And when I see you, I think of the amazing work you do with cardiac surgery on little children.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal.
I'm very blessed to be able to take care of the smallest and most vulnerable, but they're cute, so they're the smallest people around, namely our babies with heart problems.
Yeah. Well, you were appointed by Governor Susana Martinez to the HICS board, and at first you were kind of dragged in kicking and screaming. Is that accurate?
No, it actually, of course, in some sense it is, and in some sense it isn't. It's accurate to say that I have been very vocal in my opposition to Obamacare because I think it's bad public policy. And again, the book, The Cancer in Healthcare, explains that. However, the two things that really need to be said about Governor Martinez and what she did, number one, just because it's bad public policy doesn't mean that we, the board, can't do good things for the people of New Mexico. And number two, I will say this, and I've said this in public, and I'm going to say it not too loudly, there has been no political partisanship on that board. It is, I think, amazing. We have just, you can't tell when you listen to people talk whether they were appointed by the governor and presumably are on the Republican end of things, or they were appointed by the state legislature and presumably Democrat. You just don't hear any of that. Everybody on the board understands that we need to get affordable insurance that people actually understand and want to buy, and here's the second part that's critical: that insurance has to lead to timely care. If we don't get that for the people of New Mexico, then what good is insurance if you can't get a doctor or have your vaccinations?
Well, we're going to hear from callers here in a minute, and I know that many of them will be saying there's a wait right now to see my doctor, sometimes up to a couple months, certainly for new patients. So the system appears to be in need of some critical care. And so, you know, here we are, and hopefully this will move things forward. So, Maria, tell me what kinds of things take effect in January. I mentioned a few that are already in place.
Well, there are a lot of details about the law. There's things that started getting put into effect as soon as the law was passed, and there's things that are going to continue to be gradually be put into effect through the next couple of years. One thing that is important that's coming up January 1st is, well, first of all, everybody can have access to care, hopefully, if there's enough providers out there to serve everybody. But also things like pre-existing conditions. Right now, children with pre-existing conditions can't be denied coverage. Come the first of the year, all people can't be denied coverage if you have a pre-existing condition. And now remember that pre-existing conditions can be things like pregnancy or basic things that have been barriers for people to access healthcare before. There's changes in the law that allow for people to get their prescriptions much more affordably. Already in effect, there's women care, preventative care for women, like their yearly exams, gender and age-appropriate screenings for different cancers and things like this. So there's a lot of preventative measures coming into effect, and that's part of how we are assuming that the law is going to actually save money in the end, because people are going to get their care before it is a critical issue.
And one of those important parts is no copays for those wellness checks.
Absolutely.
Right? You won't have to pay, as you do now, up to $25 or more from your primary care provider. So I want to invite people to join this conversation, very important today, on the Affordable Care Act, the New Mexico Health Exchange, and tell us about your issues. What is happening in your family? Are you an individual or small business owner who wants to know how the ACA will affect you and your workers? Call us at 277-5866 here in Albuquerque. If you're out of town, call 877-899-5866. Again, 899. Let me do the whole thing. 877-899-5866. It's on our dime. Give us a call, and we hope to hear from you. So rates are going to be dependent upon your particular situation, your age, demographic, where you live, other factors. But we do have some idea, and I noted a few that I'll share with everyone. To give us kind of a benchmark, and then, Doctor, perhaps you can expand on that. They are, even today's articles are showing that rates are going to be lower than expected. So in New Mexico, we have five providers, as I said. So that's spurring some competition and good for the consumer to get a better price. A single 40-year-old in Albuquerque, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation report just out a couple of weeks ago, someone who makes around $28,700 a year with a subsidy, and we'll have the doctor address the subsidy issue. The Silver Plan, the second lowest plan, which gives you about 70% coverage, costs $193 per month. That's for a 40-year-old. And I believe that's a male. It may be a little different from female. A 25-year-old will pay about $167 a month. And then a 60-year-old, closer to the Medicare age, where you're eligible at 65, $193 as well, same as the silver. So I hope I haven't confused you, but it's versus about $320 nationally. So as you can see, it is lower, that according to the Kaiser Family Foundation study. Tell us about the subsidies or the rebates or the, you know, whatever you want to call them, credits, Doctor.
There is a, under the law, there is a sliding scale from 138% of the poverty line where you are eligible for Medicaid. Above that, you are not. Up to 400% of the poverty line, which turns out to be 79% of the entire United States. It's $90,000 a year annual income. So all the way up to that level, there is a sliding scale of decreasing. Of course, you make more money, you get less credit from the government to assist you in paying for those premiums. So the premiums can be high, but there is subsidy so that your out-of-pocket for that will be considerably less than some of the numbers that you see that will stagger you when you see $400 or $500 a month. And you go, my God, I can't afford that.
And then the deductibles.
And then you have the deductibles.
Okay, so I want to take a question now from Kathy. She asks, what do I have to do to sign up for Health Exchange? She's in Albuquerque. Good morning, Kathy. Are you there? Oh, Kathy. All right. Well, let's move on. Maybe we'll get Kathy in just a minute. Move on to John in Albuquerque. And he's asking, what can we do to improve Obamacare? Either one of you, take a stab at that question.
This is Maria with Health Action. I think the sort of like looking into the future, the most important thing, and you've already mentioned this, Deborah, a little bit, is this workforce situation we have going on. As it is now, without these extra 350,000 people gaining access to health care, we have a shortage of providers in most fields. So this is something we'll have to tackle as a state. How do we train people? How do we get people to provide? We need a lot of mid-level providers, nurses, physicians, assistants. There's a real problem with dental. Medicaid actually will cover dental once January 1st comes. So we have to figure out how to gain access to all these people that actually will, by law, have access. How do they actually get their services?
So, John, does that answer your question? Did you have a follow-up?
Mostly from the doctor, since he seemed to be open to making the law better there, and kind of, I think, in terms of bringing the Republican opposition on board, is how can we make this better public policy, more specifically, you know, if we could get out of this mode that all we can do is repeal it there from the Republican side, I think that would be good to have some helpful suggestions there.
Yes, I have actually two. One, well, I have more than two, but two that I'll share with you right now. One, to take on further what Maria was just saying, let me quote Bob Moffat from the Heritage Foundation, who said before Congress, you can't get more of something by paying less for it. The law actually reduces payments to providers and basically gives the money to the bureaucracy. My strong recommendation is that we should change the law so that less of the money goes to administration, bureaucracy, regulatory oversight, complexity, and more of it actually goes to nurse providers, respiratory therapists, doctors, health care providers. And as you know, the law actually cuts out over $700 billion from Medicare reimbursements. Well, us old folks just won't be able to find a doctor because there won't be any who can afford to accept Medicare payments. So that's number one. Number two, we need to get more money of this massive spending on health care to the providers and less to the bureaucracy. The second recommendation I would make is the issue of the Independent Payment Advisory Board, which is basically going to stop expensive care for people who have very expensive kidney failure, emphysema, and so forth. They're just going to say, no, we're not going to give you care.
We'll be right back after this break, and Maria Perez from Health Action New Mexico will also answer that question. We'll take your calls. Give us a call, 277-5866, here in Albuquerque, 1-877-899-5866, outside of town. We'll be right back.
You can help KUNM a lot by donating a few hours during our Pledge Drive week. We need people with pleasant voices and good printing to answer phones on the weekend of October 12th and 13th, plus the following week in 2 to 3 hour shifts from 8:30 a.m. through to 10 p.m. We also need good at math phone captains, parking attendants, and dinner coordinators. Let us know what hours you can help. Call 277-4516. That's 277-4516. Thanks.
Come on, Peace Train. If someone asked you to make a top 10 list of the best peace songs of all time, what would you choose? Tune into a Peace Talks radio special as we take a crack at creating a top 10 list of our own. We'll play the songs that made our list and many honorable mention selections that almost did. Listen for the top 10 peace songs of all time, a Peace Talks radio special.
Friday morning at 8 on 89.9 KUNM.
And we're talking today on the call-in show about the Affordable Care Act and the New Mexico Health Exchange. We welcome your calls. Maria Perez is here from Health Action New Mexico, as well as Dr. Dean Waldman from UNM Children's Hospital and a retired physician, as well as a member of the Health Exchange Board. Maria, you wanted to respond?
Yeah, I think we have to get past this, like trying to find what the problems will be with this law or are with this law already, and just give it a chance to function. This is an amazing, exciting, once in a lifetime or more opportunity that we have in the state, that we have in this country. This is the first significant push towards health reform since the 60s. It is very exciting. Nobody knows really how it'll work. We are trying to add thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people in the state of New Mexico to gain access to health care. So let's see what happens. Let's try to get this going before we start finding the faults in it. There are going to be kinks. We don't know exactly what they are. We try to foresee what problems might come up, but we are trying to work together, the state, the advocacy community, providers. We're all trying to get this thing rolling and working and serving people. It is an amazing opportunity. It's exciting. People should get enrolled. We need to see how this works. Now, as far as it being good or bad public policy, that is, you know, up to people's how they feel about this thing, their political ideologies, it's fine. You can feel however you want to feel, but this is the law. It is an amazing opportunity. Let's see what we can do with it.
Okay. Thanks, Maria. And Andy is calling from Albuquerque with a question about mental health coverage. Hi, Andy. Are you there, Andy? Okay. We're going to move on to Lewis in Albuquerque. He says his daughter's 26. Should she sign up for healthcare on the exchange? Which one of you wants to take that question?
I'd be happy to.
Sure.
We urge young people to take responsibility for themselves. Remember that insurance is really there not to pay for care, but to prevent financial catastrophe. That's really what it's supposed to do. You know, you're in an automobile accident or, you know, you're skiing and you break a leg, suddenly you're facing a huge bill. So should she sign up? Yes, she should sign up. The, if you will, bad news, however, is that for a year, the New Mexico Health Exchange will not provide insurance for individuals. We are deferring to the federal government for 1 year, for the federal platform for 1 year.
But they can still get it.
They can get it through the feds. My point, however, is that we have made a valiant effort to make our system for small business. We have made it as user-friendly as we can. I personally worry that the federal platform is going to be cumbersome and you're going to be on hold forever, and it's not going to be as user-friendly as we have very purposefully made our exchange here in the state of New Mexico. A year from now, we will take on the individual market as well, and I would be happy to take responsibility for how easy that is for the individuals a year from now, but not
now.
Well,
not to put blame, but let's look at the history. The governor vetoed a bill in 2011 that would have set up the exchange a year ago. You were a year behind in getting it going, and thus you had to form this hybrid exchange, correct?
That is a true statement. However, I must commend the governor for what she did specifically, giving us that year to, if you will, both get a learning curve of our own and to see how the federal exchange works. We are, I think, going to have a good individual exchange a year from now by watching what happens in other states and at the federal level.
Okay. Well, Maria, well, and I also wanted to repeat for that 26-year-old, you're looking at about, in the Albuquerque area, $167 a month, but it could be even less than that. Maria, what do you think?
Well, it could be less than that, and also, you know, it's questionable what kind of income a 26-year-old
yes.
may have, so they might very well qualify for Medicaid, which would be at no cost to them. So,
right.
They,
right.
you know, there are people out there to help you, like people who are enrolling, healthcare guides, navigators. There's lots of titles of lots of people that will help you. I'd be happy to talk about where to find these people if the time allows today. But I also want to mention that there is a great group of organizations locally that are committed to helping people if and when they encounter barriers as far as enrolling or figuring this out. There's Health Action New Mexico, whom you know, it's an organization that I represent. There's also the New Mexico Center for Law and Poverty and the Southwest Women's Law Center. We're all working together to
Voices for Children
and Voices for Children. Yeah, and there's others too. So we're all working together, making sure that we are available for individuals to contact us with their problems, with their barriers they're encountering, and we are committed to. Looking at these cases individually and getting people enrolled, getting people facilitate their enrollment process.
And there was, some $18.7 million granted from the federal government to New Mexico for the rollout to get some of these assistants up and rolling and trained, as well as the ads.
We're trying very hard to solve the problem that Maria started this show with, which is people don't understand what's going on. They're confused. They are skeptical. They are nervous about the intrusiveness, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, we have guides, navigators. They're going to be billboards. TV spots, radio spots and interviews, lots of things on the internet, lots of things in the newspaper, all intended to get people to at least access the system and ask their questions.
Yeah, and there is a website, as I mentioned at the top of the show, bewellnm.com. We have a number of other links also that we're sharing on our website, kunm.org. Go there and get the numbers to call in today as well, or you can also write call-in show at kunm.org. So we have another call from Bill in Los Lunas. He wants to know who will help seniors sign up for this, and he must be talking about those under 65.
Yes.
Bill? Hi, Bill.
Good morning. Yes, we need person-to-person contact when signing this up. Is the women voters of League of Women Voters going to be in senior citizen centers, community centers, helping, trying to help the elderly sign up? We don't have websites. We don't have all that. We need personal attention, person to person.
We understand that. Thank you very clearly that this is a human interaction, and so there will be people at schools, at senior centers. Frankly, we're talking about having people in shopping centers in order to help you understand and then sign up.
Okay. A question from Kevin about a new administration potentially coming in. How would that affect the board, right? Is that your question, Kevin?
Correct. Yeah, I was just wanted to ask the doctor, you know, in 2 years' time, you know, some of his opinions and stuff will be totally replaced. And, you know, perhaps, you know, there could be a much more positive light shined on this whole process. And so my question was, in 2 years' time, what happens with, say, a potential new administration? Will the commission be totally replaced and reappointed by the state legislature as well as the new governor, or how that process works?
I can only say that most of us have three-year appointments, and it's an interesting thing. The carriers on the board cannot be reappointed.
Who are the carriers? Oh,
so,
you mean the insurance?
So the insurance companies, the insurance carriers. Mm-hmm. There are four people on the board who represent insurers, mm-hmm. and they have three-year terms, and at the end of 3 years, they have to be replaced by somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I reiterate, yes, the composition of the board may change in 3 years and so forth, and it mm-hmm. certainly will for the carriers. Having said that, I just don't see partisanship on this board, and I really doubt that any new board will behave any differently. We are there not as Republicans or Democrats. We are there as Americans and New Mexicans.
And the board is made up of appointees from about an equal split between the governor and the legislature. She gets seven, and the legislature.
Six and then six. A tiebreaker.
And a tiebreaker. Who's the tiebreaker?
John Franchini, who's the superintendent of insurance.
Okay. Let's take a call from Santa Fe. Kate wants to know, is the Martinez administration going to get the word out more?
Actually, that wasn't my question.
Okay, that's what I have on my screen, but go ahead. What is it?
My question is, I currently have state SCI coverage, and my daughter has Medicaid. We've received absolutely no information about what happens to those programs, except that they end in December, by which time it's too late to join the exchange. What's happening to the SCI program? That's some of the best coverage in America for poor working people and self-employed, and it's going away because of Obamacare.
Right. It's going to be rolled into Medicaid expansion, and Maria is going to explain that.
Yeah, it's my understanding of this is that these programs will be automatically rolled into Medicaid. So you probably wouldn't even have to do much. I understand that there's some letters being sent out that you should receive shortly. And if you don't, you might want to call and see where your letter is. But there is nothing really that you need to do. You should just be automatically transferred from this program into Medicaid expansion,
which is called Centennial Care.
Yes.
By the administration. So I hope that answers the question that you wanted to ask, Kate. And let's take a call from Stephanie. Will New Mexico's insurance pool for pre-existing conditions change? Stephanie, is that your question?
Yes, I have a pre-existing condition, and I go through Blue Cross Blue Shield New Mexico Medical Insurance Pool, and I'm just wondering if that, it's actually excellent, and I'm wondering if that will change or go away now that pre-existing conditions are covered under Obamacare.
This is an explosive subject that I have a great deal of passion about, so I will answer your question. The federal government initially said that they would have a pre-existing condition insurance plan called PSIP, which would cover people who have pre-existing, especially expensive, kidney failure, heart failure, things like that. The federal government then reneged on their promise, leaving 1,500, 1,600 to be exact, in our state high and dry. The total high-risk pool in this state 2 years ago had health care bills. That was 10,000 people that had health care bills in excess of $200 million. They need care more than pretty much anybody else, and they were going to be left high and dry. I will say that the carriers in this state stepped up. The high-risk pool will fall into the general pool of people in the state of New Mexico. So we hope, we think, that you will not lose the good coverage that you have now and the ability to get the care that you need. But we are paying a big price. We, the state of New Mexico, are paying a big price for that.
Okay. Hope that answered your question. And we have a question from Cheryl in Albuquerque. All right. How about Richard in Albuquerque?
Hi, good morning. I'm Richard. I'm actually also a professor at UNM. My comment, just a comment and then a question, is the gentleman keeps saying he's nonpartisan, but he keeps quoting people like Bob Moffat at the Heritage Foundation, extremely conservative think tank. But, you know, one of the issues with healthcare in this country is fee-for-service, actually. That's what we need to change. And I agree with him that I don't agree that Obamacare is the answer to that. I think more of the money does need to go to healthcare providers. I agree with that. But my question to him would be, you know, something like a single-payer system like Medicare for All, which is only 3% overhead, as opposed to his insurance colleagues, which are making 50, 20% overhead from taking that away from healthcare providers. And how do we answer the question about our outcomes in New Mexico? You know, we have horrible health outcomes. We have the highest teen, one of the highest teen pregnancy rates, extremely, you know, high infant mortality rate compared to the rest of the world. What do we do to improve outcomes?
Oh, that is both an easy and a hard question, and I would love to answer it. The answer is we should stop, frankly, I mean, this is just my opinion, but we should stop the entire fee-for-service, pay-for-performance concept and start paying for outcomes.
Wasn't that what Obamacare does?
No, it's still – we still get – doctors still get paid for what we do, what we should get paid for – and rewarded, and the same thing for the insurance companies, is how do the patients do? If they do better, if they don't go to the ER, if they recover from their broken leg faster or their heart attack is prevented, we should get rewarded for those positive patient outcomes. Now, no country in the world does that right now, and I think that we should take a giant step forward and start paying for positive patient outcomes, but Obamacare doesn't do that. No one does that.
Maria?
I'd like to – I mean, part of this law really concentrates on preventative care. So I agree that there needs to be ways of assessing that to see how the outcomes are getting better. I'm sure that they're going to be in place. But there is a lot to be said about putting this emphasis on preventative care so that people actually don't end up with, stroke or diagnosed diabetes. Like, these things can be controlled beforehand, and the cost should go down because of that. Another thing about this law that nobody really talks about too much is this 80-20 provision, which states that 80% of the money that you put into this system goes into serving you and services for you. So only 20% of the money that you put into this by law is going into bureaucratic overhead, administrative overhead. So I think that is amazing. You know, like insurance companies, hospitals, they are giant for-profit businesses, and they're not really allowed by some regulatory processes in the law to really just take, you know, 50%, 60% of your money and taking it for administrative costs. Most of the money, 80% of it, needs to go by law into serving you and your access to health.
And that had been happening, higher percentages of overhead.
Humongous percentages, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So that's sort of contrary to what you had said previously.
Well, that's what the law says, but the law talks only about the carriers and the providers. It doesn't talk about itself. If you look at the actual numbers, in 2011, $1 trillion of the 2.7 that we spent on healthcare for this country didn't go to anybody who did anything for healthcare. Namely, it went to the federal government, the regulatory bureaucracy, oversight, all these things that are regulatory, administrative, and bureaucratic in nature and are not for the people, for patient care. So the 80-20, unfortunately, does not include the federal government itself.
We have a call from an insurance broker, Edna. Edna, are you there? Go ahead with your question.
Hi, I just I have 2 points. The first I wanted to make was that people can also get help from their independent health insurance broker. Some of us are doing all the training and getting appointed and learning about all this stuff and really looking forward to helping people access this. I think it's a great new thing. Once it gets going, I think it's going to be really good. I also wanted to make the point that, yes, the medical insurance pool is not going to be in existence, I think, after 2014.
Correct.
However, I see this kind of as an advantage because, you know, when the medical insurance pool was the coverage of last choice, the plan designs weren't very great. A lot of people who have pre-existing conditions or chronic conditions can now access any plan they want with guaranteed issue and have a better plan design that comes with co-pays and all of that stuff that makes accessing care a little bit easier. So that's my point.
All right. Thank you for your call. Appreciate that. You know, it really is important to get the young people in. It's sort of key to the success of Obamacare because the healthy folks that pay in are going to subsidize these really sick people that we're talking about, according to all of the analysis that's being done. 82% of nearly 16 million uninsured young U.S. adults will qualify for cost assistance or even Medicaid through Obamacare's marketplaces. So, you know, the young people out there, if you're wondering, you know, should you sign up, go to bewellnm.com and check that out. As of Monday, if you go there now, there isn't a whole lot you can do because until Tuesday, there is nothing active yet. But you can see the website and at least you'll know that it is there. We're going to take a break here and we'll be right back with the last part of this discussion on the Affordable Care Act and the New Mexico Health Exchange. We hope you'll call us 277-5866 in Albuquerque or outside of town 877-899-5866. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Bonnie DeFranco donated a pair of VIP tickets to her concert at the Chemo on Tuesday, October 15th, to encourage you to support KUNM before the pledge drive. Drawing happens October 1st at 5 p.m. Moab Folk Festival also donated a pair of weekend passes for the first weekend in November with David Lindley, Tom Russell, Eliza Gilkison, and more. Register for both drawings today by returning the card that was mailed to you or go to KUNM.org. Click Support This Station.
I'm Bill Moyers. This week on Moyers & Company, we report from California's Silicon Valley, where not everyone strikes it rich in the high-tech gold rush. And then I talk with Sherman Alexie about his latest book, Blasphemy, and his life in between the many worlds of a Native American.
As a member of a tribe, I think I have a more conscious relationship with black and white thinking.
I hope you'll join us.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
And we're back. I'm Deborah Martinez, The Call-In Show, 8:43 now. We're talking about the health exchange in New Mexico and answering your questions. And we have basic questions about where people can get info on the exchange, who is administering it, is there a website, a phone number we've talked about? It'll be bewellnm.com. Memorize that if you're looking for insurance. And Maria wanted to address the young folks' angle of this big picture.
Yeah, this, you know, this really is the crux, the question. Are young people going to enroll? That's going to either make it or break it. It is crucial if you are young that you enroll. And somebody had a great analogy. I can't remember who it is, so I'm sorry if I don't credit you. But they said that signing up, enrolling for the exchange is sort of like buying car insurance, except that it doesn't only cover accidents, but it also covers maintenance. So it's like that for your body. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't just cover if you break your leg in a skiing accident, like the doctor was mentioning, but it covers the maintenance as you go along. So it is important that you have it. Please sign up. It's not a complicated process. At least we're not anticipating it to be a complicated process. And it is up to you as the youth of this state, as the youth of this country, to uphold the law and make it work. So please take responsibility and enroll.
I've heard as little as $45-$50 a month.
Yes.
People will pay with those subsidies. So go to our website as well for links to reports, the Kaiser Family Foundation report and others that will give you more information, do some homework, and get informed and get insured.
There is a I want to get this out on the air. We this whole issue about inability to get care because of lack of providers and so forth. Were the not the last board meeting, but the meeting before that, we literally spent the morning asking, challenging various people, innovative people around our state, are there new ways that we can accomplish care for people with the existing resources? That was basically the question. And the answer is yes. We, the medical institutions, we're not talking to carriers, we're not talking the state, have to get out of their comfort zone and say, are there other ways that we can get care to the people than simply sitting in our offices and having office hours, don't have evening office hours, don't have weekend office hours, don't have, you know, nighttime clinics. Smartphone technology allows a doctor literally to see what's going on with a patient in his or her house. Do an electrocardiogram in his or her house. You can literally do it on your smartphone. These are all sorts of ways that we can think beyond the simple, the business as usual, because if we sign up 100,000 more people who are uninsured, if the medical institutions don't change their business as usual, those people will wait forever for care.
Yeah, in fact, the Legislative Finance Committee issued a report recently about
yes.
the need for more providers and suggested ways, including more incentives.
Well, there's going to be money. I'm saying this to Loveless and UNM and so forth.
Right.
There's going to be money because more people are going to be insured. Now you figure out a way to get those people in a timely manner.
Right. Even targeting young kids in
of
third
course.
And fourth grade, getting them interested in sciences and, you know, medical professions. Maria.
And I have to repeat this point, which is that we also need a lot more mid-level providers in the state of New Mexico, people who's, you know, you don't pay so much. Their services don't cost quite as much. They're more likely to stay in their community. So, you know, most of our providers are in our urban areas, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Los Alamos, et cetera. What happens in the rural part of the state? That's the part of the state that I work with a lot. There are no providers there. We need people. We need nurses there. We need physicians' assistants there. I think as a state, we need to create new professions, new mid-level provider professions to accommodate this. And this could happen. We're working with community colleges to see what kind of training can be done for local people, for some of these ideas that the advocacy community is having. And I think we can really create a solution for New Mexico in the next several couple years here.
But we also, in my view, need to educate the public that not everything needs a doctor. I had a personal problem about a month ago, and I wanted to see my own doctor, and they gave me a 3-month wait to see him, or I could see the nurse practitioner the next day. She did a wonderful job. She did everything right. I am a doctor. I kind of know this stuff. And my point is that there is this feeling in the outside world, in the lay community, that, well, if I have a problem, I need to see a doctor. Well, there are lots of other people who can help you with that problem who are quite qualified, and you should be able to get to them.
Okay. Let's take a call from Jean in Albuquerque, an attorney with New Mexico Legal Aid. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning. Hi. I wanted to speak primarily to the people on the state insurance pool. I wanted them to be reassured that the Department of Insurance is in the process of letting a contract with some organizations who are going to be individually contacting everyone who's a subscriber to the state insurance program and assisting them to get switched over to the exchange, unless they're on Medicaid. If they're on Medicaid, then that is going to happen automatically, but they need to know that they will be contacted if they're not on Medicaid and assisted on how to transfer to one of the programs on the exchange.
All right. And we have a call from Paul in Albuquerque. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Just have a quick question on the – I have a resident that recently had a hospital procedure done in Santa Fe, and he's a senior. But the billing has been a nightmare. His primary physician that did the procedure was covered under his health care. Is that going to help? Is this new Affordable Health Care Act going to help with that? He has two other bills that have been sent to him to the tune of like $1,200 from different physicians that helped with this procedure because that's what was at the hospital. And it's been a nightmare of bureaucratic tape to go through to try to get that paid by his own health.
I wish I could say it would help, and I will say that it's going to get worse because as the system is more complex and the accounting as well as billing becomes more bureaucratic, forgive me, it gets so that I don't understand. I try to explain to the board that nobody actually knows the cost of a hernia repair or an open heart procedure. We allocate a cost. Well, we need to change the whole account way that healthcare is accounted, but at the moment the law doesn't do that, and so I regret to tell you it's not going to get better, the billing and accounting of healthcare.
But he's talking about a private insurance company, I believe.
Well, remember that under the current system, they get rewarded the slower and they pay the more complex the thing is, the less you understand, the better financially it is for the insurance carrier.
And will that be addressed?
No.
Is that addressed?
No. Until we start saying we are going to pay for what the patient wants, the outcome that the patient wants, that's going to be rewarded. Until we do that, the system is going to remain cumbersome and confusing.
We have a call from Cheryl in Albuquerque. Cheryl, you wanted to ask Dr. Waldman a question?
Yes. Dr. Waldman, I'm wondering why you were on the board for implementing the New Mexico Healthcare Exchange exchange. Well, everything you have said so far this morning is knocking it in one way or another, even the very concept of people having medical insurance. If you were in private industry and you couldn't get with the program, they would take you off the task force. So I'm wondering why you bothered to be on the healthcare exchange now.
Oh, I can answer that very simply, and that is I think that the exchange can and will and has done good things for the state of New Mexico. That's why I think you need to separate out, everybody needs to separate out the problem of public policy from the fact that we can actually do something good for the people of New Mexico. The main reason I oppose this whole thing is that we as a nation are spending money that we don't have, and we are spending it in the wrong place. And that's why I'm opposed to it. I'm not opposed to the idea of getting people getting health care. Quite the opposite. I want them to get health care.
All right. Let's go to Valerie in Albuquerque, who has a question about a high deductible policy plan that she has.
Hi, I am a small business owner in town, and I have some employees. I do not offer health insurance to them. I, as a family, have a plan that's a high deductible plan. Can I go on to the exchange and get a lower cost plan? I did actually find one that's similar.
And the answer is yes. There are both low deductible, for which you, of course, will pay a large premium, and high deductible, for which you will pay a much lower premium, plans available. That was very intentional on the part of the board and the carriers so that we could insert competition into the carrier group and the consumers would benefit. As we said, the website, of course, is bewellnm.com, NM for New Mexico, of course.
I'd like to say that a big provision in the law is geared towards small business owners. Small businesses, you know, they're the backbone of this country in a lot of ways, and they really haven't been able to access health care and offer health care benefits to their employees. There's a lot in the law that should facilitate that, that should help small businesses offer those benefits to their employees.
And thank you, Maria. Back to the website, people will be able to get an 800 number there as well, correct?
Correct.
So that they can make
correct.
An appointment and come in to one of the various sites where these assisters will be located to actually do a face-to-face, away from the computer kind of
And I also want to make sure that people process. Know that we are very sensitive to the Native American community, which is very large and mobile in our country, in our state, in order to have Native speakers literally available at various places for them to sit down and talk to those guides.
In fact, of the 200,000 or so folks we have in New Mexico who are uninsured, 73,000 are Native Americans.
There's 400,000 uninsured people in New Mexico.
400, mm-hmm. twice as many as the study I looked at. All right. Well, let's go to Valerie. Oh, we just talked to Valerie. Sorry. Suzanne in Albuquerque. What is your question?
Hi. Yes. Good morning. And thanks for the panel. I'm curious, as we expand, our Medicaid program and make access to care through Medicaid, are we doing anything? Are there any programs that are going to help people to choose to use their primary care physician versus using the emergency department for their primary care? because having worked in Albuquerque in the healthcare community, there are many people who actually just opt to use the emergency department versus their primary care physician. So I was wondering how we were going to try to change the culture of individuals using the ED versus their primary care physician.
Yeah, part of that, I believe, is Centennial Care will impose a copay for people using emergency services, right?
There is both the stick, which I hate, but also there should be a carrot. If the organizations, the medical organizations, step up and make services more available, instead of going to the ER with your child who has a fever, you can get in today to see a nurse practitioner who will evaluate your child. So, I mean, nobody really wants to go to the ER, but if you don't have an alternative, you know, your child's got 103 fever and you're worried, but they say, oh, well, you can't see anybody for 3 weeks. Well, to heck with that, I'm going to the ER. But if you can see somebody this afternoon, then so my point is there should be a carrot at the end of this. There should be somebody who will take care of you promptly.
Thank you, Dr. Waldman. Very quickly, Maria.
I want to just mention that New Mexico is indeed a very rural state, and a lot of people in the state don't really even think about going to the hospital because they would have to drive 3 hours to get to the hospital. So a lot of people get their care in community health centers. There is a long history of promotoras and
yes.
community health workers in those settings, and these people, I think it's a changing the culture, but I think it would be sort of through this kind of service, the promotoras, people who talk to you about prevention, to talk to you about nutrition, etc.
Thank you, Maria Perez of Health Action New Mexico, for your expertise on this issue, as well as Dr. Dean Waldman from the University of New Mexico and a member of the Health Exchange Board. Thanks to the callers who made this show so exciting and interesting for your questions. KUNM's poverty and public health coverage is funded by support from the Kellogg Foundation. the McCune and the Frost Foundation, and the Conalma Health Foundation here in New Mexico. Visit us online at KUNM.org. Click under News. You can get this show for 2 weeks or even longer if you'd like to hear it. And Roman Garcia is our engineer today. Thank you to you, Roman. And he also produced Global Kirky. Great job there. Jeff White is his assistant. Andy Lyman and Steve Emmons worked on the telephone calls. And Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. Thank you so much. I'm Deborah Martinez. Join us next week.